Yes, indeed. Welcome to this week's Naked Football. Joining myself and young James is none other than someone I found in a pub in Brighton. Quelle surprise. Mr. Raimondo Sleg.
Bonjour, I did survive.
Bonjour, he did. Cracking place, though, Brighton, isn't it?
Excellent place. It's even better on Sunday lunchtime down by the marina.
Yes.
Supping a pint of Hobgoblin, overlooking a man washing his boat. Did a good job he was, too.
Absolutely. So I think for the first, maybe 20 minutes, we'll talk about the pubs in Brighton. What did you think of them, Ray? We can leave James out of this for a few minutes.
Well, I think first we just must mention the Brighton policy of re-allowed before the game.
Yes.
Have a guest out of Adnams for the visiting team that was on with Ipswich Town stickers on the pumps. Beautifully tasting, excellent policy. Made Ipswich Town's effort at their Cask Ale bar the other week look pretty pathetic in comparison.
By all accounts. Yeah.
Well, I was there. It was definitely a pathetic attempt.
Oh, right. What's the Cask Ale policy they had?
Well, they tried to do Cask Ale in Legends bar.
Oh, right.
These little tins of Adnams, which you poured out by hand, and then at 10 to 6 they're asking you to leave, asking you to go home. Says, we're all off now. And then Brighton encouraged you to stay and have a drink after the game and even go with our fans at the North Stand, come and drink with us. It was fantastically enlightening and very, very good and really good to see.
It was, and from what I remember, I think the bar and the fooderies were open all through the game, in fact, so you could nip back and have a quickie, especially when the third goal went in fact.
If you wish to depart the scene of the crime, you could go and have a nice pint of real ale.
And despite it being a new stadium, it was a very nice stadium, cracking atmosphere, especially from the Brighton
fans.
Great
atmosphere, I thought it was a nice looking stadium.
For once they didn't lie when they said that it's been designed for atmosphere, because normally these stadiums, we've built it, we've atmosphere.
No, it's actually quite scary, when it got going.
Brilliant.
Very impressed.
I read on the website there's some banner on there. I didn't see that, but it didn't sound very nice.
No, I don't think it was very nice, but most people didn't understand it because I think it came out with a double negative, which was a double negative, wasn't it? It didn't even make sense.
Young fans, from what I can make out, they're anti-modern football. Which, the sentiment, I think a lot of us can actually agree with, the whole way that money seems to be ruining the game. And they were levelling this banner, basically accusing of Brighton of selling out to American Express.
I see.
It was very, very poorly worded, didn't make much sense, and of all the fans that you're going to accuse of being money-grabbing and selling out to some rich...
Yeah, it's not them.
..is not Brighton, a team that haven't had their own ground for 15-odd years.
Oh, no.
They have American Express are a local company in Brighton, employ a lot of people, similar to, say, AXA here.
It'll be
a similar sort of setup. And they've sponsored the name of the community stadium, and they've kept the word community. It's the American Express Community Stadium. It's not the American Express Stadium. And coming from a team where a lot of these guys holding a banner would have been wearing a shirt with Marcus Evans written on it, it's very, very poor taste to accuse another team of allowing a local employer to help in their funding of getting their stadium that they've been without for about 15 years. They've not been bought out by somebody really rich. They have got a little bit of money behind them, but not a Leicester, not a Man City, not a Chelsea, not even an Ipswich in that sense. So it was just in poor taste.
It upset
the Brighton fans because they're being accused of selling out, as it were, and
because I thought it was a splendid day, and I only learned about this afterwards.
Fans did after, hearing it on the radio or having Brighton fans kind of asking afterwards what was all that about, and unfortunately we all had to play the Wenger on it and go, I didn't see it, I don't know. But now seeing it afterwards, they had a go when we went to Chelsea a couple of years ago. They put a big banner up having a go there, and that's probably a little bit more accurately levelled at some Russian billionaire just coming along with Chelsea as his plaything. The same situation, but at the same time,
without Marcus Evans, I'm afraid we wouldn't be sitting here now.
Well, exactly.
Let's get real.
That was pointed out by many Brighton fans.
But the main issue being is, one, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. It was completely aimed at the wrong people, and it upset the Brighton fans and have given Brighton fans a completely wrong impression of us Ipswich fans. You guys spent a weekend there, or the morning or evening in the Brighton, you probably would have had such a nice, warm welcome and, you know, all the people local from Brighton love, you know, people coming to visit them, and they probably had a really good impression of Ipswich before the game, and
I think most still did.
With a lot of other events, this has tainted it for some of their fans. It's such a shame.
Well, I hope they've been put right. There's two or three idiots.
I think they have. I think the majority of sensible Brighton fans will actually realise that it was down to a small minority.
Well, I saw the grey room in the green room. Do we call it green room in the grey room?
Yes, we might as well.
I stayed overnight and managed to get up Sunday morning, which is most unusual.
It's not a bad start.
But I mean, I was walking around on Sunday afternoon and had my coat on, and this taxi driver came over to me. He had a fare in the cab. He says, "Just want to say that you were the best football inside I've seen down here yesterday. You played a great game. You knocked it around. Mm. It was a great. We really enjoyed it." And he made a point of saying that. Now, whether we fully agree with that, I don't know, but I thought 3-0 was a flattering result.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
But he said we're the best football inside they have seen this year. So take it on, however you'll take it. Well, but he stopped and told me that.
Yeah.
Which cheered me up, so I went another pint to celebrate.
Well, I was told before the match by a Brighton sporting friend, if you let us get into the game, you know, if you don't score in the first 10, 20 minutes, and you let us grow into the game, then we'll probably end up winning it, because that's the way they play. They're slow starters, but they get themselves in, and that's pretty much what happened with the match. And 3-0 was a bit flattering on them.
Well, we could have scored. I mean, Jet had one kick all game, but it was in the first minute, and that very nearly went in. It's a cracking shot, which he has an app to do, have these shots, and they scrambled that away. If we'd have gone 1-0 up in the first, I think we'd have gone on to win.
And that's exactly what my Brighton friend had said in advance of the match. If you get the early goal, then you've got a chance of really taking the game by the throat.
They did clear three off the line as well, didn't they, Brighton?
They did. But
was it three, was it?
But yeah, well, if you remember, Carlos Edwards right at the end.
Harvey's was good.
But they grew into the game, and On level, you know, over the course of the match, you'd say they deserved to win, but 3-0 was a bit flattering.
It was.
But we can certainly learn something public relations-wise from Brighton, certainly. I mean, I look at where I stand or sit or whatever at Portman Road, there's a great big sign. It's not like welcome to Portman Road, I hope you enjoy your visit. It's the following may not be brought into the ground, you know. Yes. Kalashnikov, AK-47, hand grenades, atom bombs, and, well, all sorts of ridiculous stuff.
That's it.
And it's just so off-putting. Please do not go on to do not do this, and, you know, and as like you say, Carscale, it wasn't really.
No, but all the staff encountered at Brighton, the turnstile operators, nice smiled ones that were security checking, did it very nicely, politely. The guys and the actual turnstiles all friendly, great bars. It's really been designed with the fan in mind, and to have an away end that's tailored to the away fans
with padded seats
and colours,
like not sales, that was later, but padded
seats.
Yeah,
the padded seats were even nicer than the Emirates,
because
the Emirates were padded seats, but they're hard pads, where these were nice and soft, and it's lovely.
Very good for your buttocks.
If
you're going to have to sit down for a match, which, you know, that is the regulations, but you get away with standing most away matches, but if you have to sit down for one, there's a lot worse you could do than sitting on one
absolutely.
Of those.
Absolutely. They were even good about the standing up, sitting down, like malarkey.
They were.
Because obviously there was a whole block of people standing, so they let them stand. Half a stand had the back people in bits standing up, so they made the people at the front sit down, those that were still standing at the back who didn't want to sit down, just left them. I thought it was really good. You know, everything apart from the result at Brighton was excellent.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'd forgotten the result about Asia, not for the obvious reason, but because it'd be such a pleasant afternoon.
Yeah.
Without police or stewards telling you can't do this, you can't do that, don't do this. It was very, very pleasant.
Mr. Clegg, if you're listening.
It was a good experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit rare that you go to an Ipswich Town game where there is actually something, you know, on the result. When you go to somewhere like Chelsea in the Cup, you can enjoy the day out for what it is, and the result is secondary. If you make a scalp, awesome. If you lose, well, you expected. Brighton, obviously, was a proper league match. There was points riding on it, and you were looking for a result. But I haven't gone away from an away game after losing 3-0 and being less disappointed than I was there. I thoroughly enjoyed the day. Mm. The whole day. It was, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very
good. It's a great experience. It's nice to do that with football, because it's very rare you get to do that nowadays.
Simon Clegg, are you listening?
Yeah,
probably
I just
not,
said that.
I
yeah,
suspect,
absolutely. We'll just send him an MP3, shall we? See what happens.
Good. That's a bit scientific.
I'll put it under your name.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah, I thought. I think as you say, 3-0 flattered them. Really, we could easily have been up early in the first half, and indeed the second. Slight goalkeeper calamity yet again.
Yeah.
Do we need to address that? Does one think?
Probably do. I mean, he made another mistake in the second half. I mean, Mikhail Smith had a header from about 3 yards out. I always thought the goalkeeper was supposed to command his box, not let the forward have a header. But he had it against the bar, thankfully. So people don't tend to mention that one. But surely that's his ball if it comes in from a corner. Go and smack the head of the forward. And Mikhail Smith's not the
largest, is he?
No,
but he had a free header, knocked it against the bar.
Don't want to be harsh on Lee Barrett, because he's done his job that he's needed to do, but he's not going to be our number one.
No.
He's not a number one now, and he's not going to be our number one going forward, unfortunately, because it's nothing personal against him.
No, not at all.
I don't think he's let us down in the sense of for lack of trying and for doing the best he can, but unfortunately his best isn't good enough for if we want to move forward from here.
Exactly right. And the one on the bench isn't much better, so that's a problem must be resolved in the summer.
That's it, yeah. I mean, that is one of the vital signings, is to get your nailed on number one first choice goalkeeper. Who's at the right age, who's going to, you know, be there hopefully for, you know, 2-3 years, so you've got some continuity, because that's something we haven't had for the last couple of years. For the first kind of 10 years of sport in town, it was always the same goalkeeper. And then for the last kind of 5 years, we've had about a dozen different keepers, 3 or 4 in each season, which I hadn't really seen that before.
Chris, question: name the game, like Doctor Who, name the Doctor Who's named Ipswich goalkeepers in the last 2 years. Quite a few, I suspect.
That's it.
Even one from Dundee, was it called Carson, I think, from Dundee United?
Played one game. Raymond.
Well, that's going back far too far. So.
I don't know if anyone noticed, the big match was on last Sunday from 1904 or something.
It's a big match.
Yeah, 1983, I think. Ipswich at Liverpool, because the whole weekend had been snowed off.
Right.
It was obviously the corresponding weekend to whatever last weekend was, and their main match was Liverpool versus Ipswich. We lost 1-0. We would have been there, Ray, I'm sure, but we probably can't remember.
Definitely.
It was when the Ipswich team, the great Ipswich Robson team, was sort of gradually disintegrating. So we still had your Mariners and Walk. Your Tysons and Walk, but we were bringing in people like Putney and Gurnan and McCall and so on at the time. But we did, the only reason I mentioned that was talking about good goalkeepers. Paul Cooper was there.
Yep.
And that was in the days when, even if you had gloves, they were mittens, really, weren't they? Made of wool. And but he was superb goalkeeper, wasn't he? Paul Cooper, my favourite goalkeeper, I think. Raymond?
Yes, he 7 penalties out of 10 in a year, wasn't it? That was his record. Phenomenal. I don't think that'll ever happen again. Although watching the penalty shootout on Sunday, the penalties went awry there, wasn't there? We heard it because we didn't see it, of course, but one or two went wide of the mark.
Just a bit. Yeah, one landed in my garden. The old ones are the best.
Exactly.
Right, email. This is just from Joe. Says, oh yeah, he can do it. Right, Joe's going to fill in for you next week then, James, if that's all right.
No problem at all.
Okay, Joe, you're filling in next week. Thank you, mate.
On a beach somewhere.
On a beach somewhere. Where are you going next week anyway?
Just week's holiday. So
did you say you're going to a football match?
I've probably taken a couple. I might take in Southampton away, and then a little match with White Hart Lane Spurs against Stevenage. So
yeah, I'm still thinking about Southampton. It's just, you know, because the season's sort of pretty died now, isn't it? As from last Saturday.
That's not the attitude. No, it's not. That's not the spirit.
A place in the car is there. Yes. Thanks, Ray. Anyone listening? Ray whispered that, so I'm not sure. Is there just the one? Are you going, Ray?
I'm going.
Good.
I'm going because I didn't go to Portsmouth, but they're top of the table. They're the team to measure yourself against, I think. We've done West Ham. I think Saturday was a little blip. I'm not getting too disconsolate over Saturday.
No.
Providing Jewell doesn't go and make a complete knee-jerk reaction the other way.
And
I think
the
Southampton,
team.
If we get into them, we can give them a game.
Yeah. Do you think he'll change the team next week? Or
I'm
Saturday.
Nervous that he'll have an idiot reaction, start making 2 or 3 silly changes he don't ought to do. That's what I'm nervous about. But we'll see.
Well, one that possibly for Saturday, because Smith's been away with New Zealand and Sonko's back fit again, so he might look at changing that.
I'm more thinking about Higham. I want Higham to start the game and not Leadbitter for starters. That's the first thing I want.
Well, see, I didn't have a problem with him bringing the likes of Bullard and Leadbitter into games where it's either won or it's lost already, and giving them that little bit of time, because if you need them, you don't want them to have not played for 4 or 5 weeks. But I'm worried that he's kind of just getting them back into the team ready to start them again.
Well, the big issue is Josh Carson. I want to see Carson playing.
Where do you play him at the moment, though?
Well, you play him wide. You might play him wide in place of Thomas, or Thomas through the middle. because I like Thomas through the middle like you do, Graham.
I do, but then you've got Lee Martin playing very well through the middle.
Well,
so.
Martin's played very well wide. He can do wide.
He can, but I think he's excelled himself in the middle. This is the problem. But then if you put Martin wide, where's Carson? Is Carson still going to play?
Well, at the very least...
Well, that means you're dropping Murphy then, I assume.
Well, I thought Murphy was poor on
He was
Saturday.
Very poor Saturday, yeah.
And I
he
think
was.
Carson's the future of this football club. He signed his contract now. He needs to have a bit of inspiration, a bit of incentive. Go out and play. Go enjoy yourself. Yeah. And let's have... And he scored against Bristol last year, as we know, down at Bristol. So I'd play Carson. I'd get him in. Somehow I'd get him in.
Hmm.
Yeah, the season's not a dead rubber yet, but...
No.
But I think we can kind of tinker a little bit and you can start to look towards next season. And if Ledbetter, you know, if they've got any inkling he's going to sign and they want him to stay, then he has to be involved. But if it doesn't seem like Ledbetter is going to be here next season.
And although we're paying him a wage...
You know, and there is that side of it.
He'll go for nothing. He costs about £2.3 million. I wouldn't have thought Ipswich Town Football Club can afford to do that.
No, exactly. But you know, obviously, we're still paying him a wage. There is part of it that he has to earn that wage. But if he's not going to be here next season, is there really much point playing him to the end of the season?
Not at all.
When you can be bringing your Carson through.
Exactly. Carson
or you
wants
can be
to play.
Giving Higham the games to the end of the season.
But we said this.
Wins a longer contract.
We said this at the end of last season when we were safe. You know, he still wouldn't play your Hyams and who else did we have? The Irish guy who's gone again. Shane O'Connor. Places like
Murray.
And Murray and all these people that we could have played.
At that time as well, you know.
Yeah, we could have played them because he had plenty of time. We weren't going to get relegated. It was, as you say, a dead rubber. And he didn't. And it makes you wonder why and whether he'll do it again.
Because
it's a great chance to put kids.
Because they'll never be ready.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think he ever thought Higham would be ready until his hand was forced and he had to put him in and then he thinks, exactly. Hey, oh, he's not a bad player after all.
He got lucky with Higham coming
in. He did,
in,
yes.
And he got very lucky
Same
with Drury. He
really
let
Drury
go. Yeah. And if Crawley would have made a decent offer,
Drury
would have gone. We'd have lost him.
If they'd actually offered up what they'd agreed before the loan started, because that was the issue, they'd agreed a fee before they started the loan with him. He did quite well. And then they go and offer, from what we hear, about half of... what the original agreement?
Well, they know if you stand alike, offer them a bag of smarties and a Mars bar, let the player go. And they probably tried it on. And luckily, somebody said, "Not this time."
And you can't blame them, no. Fair enough,
but he could have gone.
And it was both Higham and Drury in January. If any decent offer, but the club had considered decent, they both would have been off.
Yeah, this is slightly worrying, isn't it?
It's worrying. Yeah.
It's almost like you see the wood for the trees. You can't see the wood for the trees. You can see them in training every day, but it's not the same as seeing them in first team action. And if you've got a chance, like he has now, to put them in first team.
And then you do have other players, the likes of Ellington, who's on a 2-year contract and not doing anything for it, really. He's brought Stevenson in. Okay, he's had to have a bit of time to get up to speed, but he hasn't been involved yet.
You'd like to see him on the bench, wouldn't
you? That's it. You know, you've got the likes of a Jamie Peters, who it's obvious he's not in his plans whatsoever. So help the kid out. Let him find somewhere else, move him on for his benefit as well as, you know, the club. So there are some players that are on the fringes and they're just, you know, and you're not playing the ones that you are in your long-term plans. Doesn't seem to make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't.
And then you've got other players, and they're not given a chance at all before they're discarded. Which Higham and Drury weren't really given their chance, were they? Now they have to take
That's
it.
The only thing.
It's like a shock, actually they can play.
Yeah. And you do have to give him that chance, especially, well, he had to because of injuries, but I mean, now he's got plenty of time to do it. And what about even your Joe Whites? What's he doing at the moment?
This is it, because Cresswell's played so well, hasn't he? That's the only
But can he not play right back?
Because
everyone's.
Think he does.
No?
No. We've got Callum Bennett, the only scholar who's been given a contract out the latest batch. He plays right back, but you just don't know if it's kind of a bit too
I
think that's what we need.
We need 50 points, because people went down with 50 points last year, so we need about another 12 points. Then we start playing around with, so let's get 3 on Saturday. We must beat Bristol City.
I think
it's essential.
Yes.
2 hard away games next week, Southampton and Hull, won't be easy.
No.
And if we were to lose those two.
Yeah. You're going to Hull as a matter of interest?
I'm actually going egg chasing that weekend.
Are you? Not in Hull?
In Paris.
Oh, are you? Oh, what, the England game?
La Revanche. I was offered a ticket and just could not.
You can't tell one of those.
I was offered a ticket when we were playing awfully badly. And the thought of a weekend in Paris, watch us hammer the French egg chasing, seemed quite an attractive offer to take up.
Yeah.
So I did.
Well, why not, Ray? Absolutely. Well,
I'll be at Southampton, as you will be, Graham, because
looks like I might be.
Your name on
looks
it.
Like I might be. I was going to say something. Thinking that we're not likely to get any loanies in before the end of the season there?
Not unless it's necessary, I don't think now.
I would say a goalkeeper. We've got one, but I'd get another one in.
That's it.
The other one's no good.
What about Wright? He can play, can't he? I'm quite happy with him.
But so yeah, unless these central defensive issues reoccur, where we've got less than two fit, then that might be an issue. We might towards the end of the season, when the season's pretty much up, we might get another Jimmy Bullard loan. We might get a Gio De Santos loan, something just to perk the fans up. But
Reading interest for ball, like, anything in that? I see that being bantered. Anything in that, or is that just sort of paper talk? Lazy journalists.
John just kind of battered that one straight down again. And also the Leeds interest in Edwards as well.
Strange, they were. Very strange.
Do you get the idea that Edwards will get another contract or not?
Well, it seems he wants to, but again, if he's not in your plans, then what are you doing to replace, or where's the next step after Edwards if he's not in your plans?
I think he's done enough to earn himself. Absolutely.
Really. I think he's a good footballer.
Yes,
superb. I think he's played out of position for the club.
Yeah.
I think he's a good footballer.
Yep.
He works hard. He's fairly fit. Doesn't have any injuries, so I would give him a contract. He's already said he'll take a pay reduction, which is very,
that's it.
Magnanimous. Yeah.
His family are happy down here. He seems like a happy bunny.
The club have looked after him a little bit. I mean, his off-field problems haven't been the same as Chopra's, but he's had a couple, and the club have looked after him.
But perhaps he wants to repay.
So he's happy. And
I'd certainly give him a year with a year option either way.
That's it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But that should be a no-brainer then, if he's saying that he's happy to drop his wage as well.
You would have thought so.
You would have thought so, yeah. Because you know what you've got there. Unless you've got somebody coming in, but where's the replacement? Because we haven't had a right back signed in the last 2-3 years.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing Edwards move forward into the middle, because I still think he's quite a good midfield player.
Yeah.
If we can get a full back in the summer.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a talented footballer.
And after playing a couple of seasons, that education of playing at right back will make him such a better right midfielder.
It'll be a good all round squad player to have, won't it? Because you can fit him in anywhere on that side.
I'd definitely give him a contract. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, that's sorted then. Aaron Lee Barrett.
Aaron is your perfect backup goalkeeper. Never going to complain, calls ways, make any hassle, gets on with his job. He's certainly okay, good enough even, for when you need somebody in for a couple of games, goalkeeper suspended or injured, he'll come in, he'll do his job. He's just not a long term number one, because after a run of 6 or 8 games he will eventually get found out with a mistake that will cost. And he's been lucky with a few games. I mean, Cardiff obviously he was the prime example of how lucky you can get. The fact how we got a clean sheet that game.
Okay, email. Evening team, this is from John Crown. If you don't speak about this before you read it, I'm not sure what that means. Just wondering what your thoughts are on the supporter band who's been banned instant. Obviously his name is very much out there, and do you think Phil was right in naming him on Those Were the Days?
Don't know.
Do you know anything actually about this at all, right?
Yeah.
I know a little bit that apparently he's made some racist comments on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think Phil apparently named him and shamed him on the website. I've got no view either way,
really.
No,
I'm not really sure. Is he 17?
He's 17, so I'm not entirely sure. The police were involved in it. They were asked to investigate it. But as far as I'm aware, there's been no police charges as yet. From a legal point of view, I don't know if that's why he's been able to be named and shamed. It's a club have acted on it, and the club have banned him from home and away matches till the end of the season.
So it's not a lifetime ban. Do we know, obviously without saying what he said, do we know how how severe it was? Or was it light-hearted, supposedly?
Yeah,
I've seen...
It was something that I actually did see. And it was along the lines... It was just a conversation on Twitter between different fans and that.
Right.
And it was along the lines of, you're not even English, and go and support a team of your own race,
right,
as it were.
Well, I suppose it makes a change for homophobia.
Not using a polite term, or using a slang term for that person's perceived race.
Okay, right, right. Well, we shouldn't go any further with that, I don't think.
But
at least he's got a punishment, and hopefully he'll learn from it.
It's a sort of a yellow card punishment. You're banned to the end of the season. Well, he's 17.
We all were young once, so exactly. Perhaps you'll learn from that.
And that's the idea. Rather than just giving him a 3-year ban and saying that's it,
yeah,
and I think the,
yeah.
As far as I can see, the police have kind of left the club to deal with it, because it wasn't, from what I've seen, it wasn't a hatred thing. It was a racist comment rather than a racist aggressive comment or threat. Or it wasn't threatening behaviour in that sense. So I think that's where, as far as I'm aware anyway, the police haven't taken any further action at the moment.
Yeah. Let reason rule then. Let reason rule on that one.
And it's just a good example for other people. You've got to be careful when you're out in the public domain and you're representing the club, which all our fans do whenever they make themselves aware they're an Ipswich fan. Your behaviour will be checked and you can get called up on it.
Alright, stats this is. This is still from John. Cheers, John. This season we've had 197 shots on target, which makes us 10th overall, apparently. 50 have actually gone in, giving us a 25%-ish shots on to goal percentage. Is that good or bad? Any statos in here?
Well, I read we were the 5th highest scoring team in the Championship somewhere, which is very, very good. It's just that we know we're probably the most leakiest defence in the Championship, which is a problem. Well, 5th highest scoring team before Saturday, so we didn't notch on Saturday, is very good and surprising.
I mean, if we're scoring at 1 in every 4 shots, that's not bad at all, is it?
Percentage-wise, that's quite good, hit rate.
Yeah. Is that of those on target, though? So how many are going off target?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
There you go, John, more work for you.
but that's, it's great being defensively sound and trying to win games 1-0, but you're never going to do that. So if we're going out to try and win games, and obviously the front four in recent weeks have been superb and have been scoring the goals and creating the chances, you're always going to have a chance. But it harks back a bit to the Joe Royal days of let's try and score more than the opposition.
Well,
when
Shefky was rampaging down the Portland Road field, you could imagine us goal every time, because Shefky got charging after it.
Yeah, chasing litter, they used to say, didn't they? I'm sure old Joe Royal just
Shefky
used
made
to
the hash of it. Bent was there to knock it in. Those two best pair we've had for
and one would argue the best manager we've had for a long while as well.
Exactly.
Did wonders with no money whatsoever. Exactly. In fact, had money ripped out from
having back
his
tomorrow.
Hand. Right, we've got 1 minute-ish to just quickly Bristol Saturday. Now that's a difficult one, isn't it, really? Because we're supposed to just walk over them and they've got injury problems. So that's a
defeat. We're supposed to have got internationals that have been away, they've got injury problems. It should be a walkover for us, so a draw.
Raymond.
I'm going to go through it. I think it was a slight blip on Saturday. I think the lads, as long as Jewel doesn't start getting fancy and get a little bit too stupid, we are scoring goals, we are playing well. The confidence, the crowd has been better lately. Far better atmosphere, it's better to play at Portman Road. I'll go 3-0.
Yeah, blimey.
Yeah.
Any room for Bullard in that midfield, would you say?
No.
No?
Sorry, the mop head will have to sort of just carry on sweeping the dressing room floor, I'm afraid.
Not till the third goal goes in.
Come on.
I would actually thought he might have come on at Brighton when we were 2-0 down, because what's the point of putting basically a holding midfielder in when you're already 2-0 down?
Creative midfielder, put some balls, free kicks, exactly. Corners. Yeah, I agree.
Seems strange. All right, well, that brings us to the end, shockingly. Thanks very much, James. Thanks, of course, to Raimondo. Hope to see you again soon. And I probably will, Raymond. And it'll almost certainly be in a pub.
Indeed.
Till next time, have a good one, everyone. Bye bye.